Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big money
at Menards. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode from The Athletic taking you through this beautiful Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. It's a big game tonight at Bridgestone Arena between the Nashville Predators and the Dallas Stars. And to help us talk a little bit more about the Dallas Stars, we bring in our good friend Sean Shapiro from The Athletic. Sean, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Not bad. So, Sean, obviously the Stars have had a ton of success against the Predators as of late. They've won both games this year, won in six games in the first round of the playoffs last season. Why do you think the Stars have matched up so well against Nashville as of late?
Well, I mean, it's interesting because it's that first matchup. I kind of throw out that first matchup going all the way back to the fact when Dallas had a different coach, Nashville had a different coach. I guess even the last matchup, Nashville had a different coach. So, but you take a look at how these teams match up, and you look at what Dallas does, and I think the thing the Stars have been able to do really well against Nashville is they've been able to stifle the Predators and get things and shut things down. And I think I've seen Nashville get frustrated. By how things haven't been able to get the quality chances. They haven't been able to get up and moving against Dallas. And that's what Dallas has done to a lot of teams. We've seen them do it to Colorado. They went and they swept the season series against the Avalanche this year. So I think it's just kind of the Stars' defensive game and how they lock things down has really worked well against the Predators so far.
Yeah, Sean, you mentioned the Stars' defensive game. We were talking earlier about the Stars, and you know, you look at the stats, and it's kind of jarring. Some of these guys who have had massive, production in the past, really the numbers aren't there individually, offensively, but obviously the defensive and goaltending numbers are exceptional for this team. Is that a style change, or is it just how this year has worked out?
I think it's, I mean, the Stars, the defensive prowess is a style thing. It's systemic. It's just kind of how they looked last year under Jim Montgomery, too. And so the defensive prowess is a style thing. The lack of goal scoring and the lack of production, that's more so, that's actually a concern. That's not intentional. They don't want, like, Alexander Radulov has gone 12 games without a goal so far, and that's not even the worst drought of the year. Tyler Seguin went 17 games without a goal earlier this season. So it's a thing where you look at the Stars and you look at, I believe, I'm not sure based off last night, but heading into yesterday, they were 29th in the league. If you look at natural stat trick, high danger shooting percentage, they don't finish well. They're getting better chances lately, but they're not a high scoring team with these guys, and that's kind of surprising, obviously, with these big names. The biggest issue, when you take a look at it, is just why aren't they finishing? Is it something that is it really a? I have a hard time blaming a system when you're looking at where these guys are and where they aren't finishing. It's just kind of an odd, bizarre thing to look at with in a year where Alexander Radulov can go a dozen games without a goal, Seguin goes 17 games without a goal, Jamie Benn went 13 games without a goal. All of those things that happen in the same year, and then for Dallas to keep winning games, actually that's probably the most remarkable thing about all of this, is that they've had those droughts and they're winning games and they're going to be a top three team in the Central. And it's a real, obviously, testament to what their defensive to how good that defensive game is for them.
Sean Shapiro from The Athletic covers the Dallas Stars on the line with us. And, Sean, obviously the Stars had a big free agent signing this past summer. Joe Pavelski comes in, had 38 goals last year with the Sharks, just 14 so far this year with the Stars. How would you describe kind of the way he's fit into the lineup in Dallas?
I would split it into two different halves of the season. And really, it's kind of the I would call it right around January 15th, 16th, mid-January is when things really started to click for Pavelski. The first half of the year was rough for him. He wasn't fitting in. He and the Stars are still trying to figure out how he fit, because he spent so long in San Jose. He spent so long doing the same thing, playing with the same guys particularly on the power play, that there was kind of a natural learning curve they had to fight through. And so I think they finally kind of got through that learning curve in January. And in the last month and a half, he's been really good, actually. He's looked like the player they went out and they thought they were getting in free agency. The goal totals have kind of come back up. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but he's got the scoring at a 38 goal pace clip more so in the last 10-15 games. And the other thing that he's done really, he's now fitting in on the power play. He's being a little bit more versatile on the power play with them as well. So if you're looking at the first half of the year, it's definitely something that would have been a disappointment. But if you had a little bit of patience with it, and I think the Stars did, especially considering it was a three-year signing, it's looking like it's going to be a right fit. And obviously one of the big reasons they got Pavelski was, can they score more goals in the playoffs? And that's where this signing will be the true buster, boom or bust.
Sean, Khudobin and Bishop, outstanding numbers. How good have they been this year?
They've been really good. The fact that Ben Bishop has dealt with a little bit of an ailment lately and has struggled a little bit, I think mainly because of dealing with kind of the nagging effects of that lower body injury. The fact that Anton Khudobin is there made it, he basically kind of ignored he's been allowed to ignore the fact that they've been missing a goalie that for most of the year looks like he was going to be a Vezina Trophy finalist. So Khudobin has leads the league in save percentage now. One of the things I don't even like calling it a 1A, 1B, which it really is a 1A, 1B because of the games played, but it's a tandem. It's a tandem that pushes each other now. Khudobin is someone who, when he comes in, he has a chance. He gives the Stars a chance to win every game. And obviously I think you guys have seen up close what he's done in Nashville in the past. He obviously has had some really good games in Nashville. Bishop's coming off the – Bishop was dealing with the injury last game, so I would imagine we'll probably see Khudobin tonight. But there's a good chance we'll see both goalies in this kind of two game step between the two teams. And right now, there's no drop off either. There's really no drop off either way, no matter who's in net.
Sean, last thing for you here. Obviously, the Preds and Stars met in the playoffs last season, met in the Winter Classic earlier this year. How do Stars fans view the rivalry with the Predators now that everything they've been through the last year or so?
I think it's kind of I think Nashville, to me, for Stars fans, if the Predators have that chance to be that real rival that the Stars have never really had in their franchise history, because there's been every other team that could be a rival that fits with the Stars hasn't been a reciprocal rival back, if that makes any sense. Like, for example, obviously, I think right now you can make the case, obviously, the St. Louis Blues and the Stars have a good rivalry after they've met in the playoffs a couple times in the past 4 years. But the Blues, obviously, I don't think the Blues look at the Stars as their rival. I think kind of the fact that Nashville and Dallas both look at each other as similar markets, similar teams, teams that both kind of have grown the game in their respective cities and have been able to kind of grow this rivalry organically. And obviously that's why these two teams played in the Winter Classic. I think that Nashville could be the long-term best rival for Dallas. And you can tell me if I'm wrong, but I think vice versa goes for Nashville. And I think fans realize that too. And obviously the playoff series helped, the Winter Classic helped. And I think just kind of the combination of these two games is kind of just kind of push that. Just, I love this kind of home and home over the course of 3 days, obviously in Nashville tonight and then afternoon game on Saturday. It should set up well, and obviously for both teams coming off Dallas has lost three in a row, two of those, and they've gotten a point in two of those. But Nashville coming off some of their recent losses should be kind of a fun atmosphere, and obviously, I mean, you guys, and should be a heated a little bit too.
Sean Shapiro from The Athletic has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Sean, thanks so much for taking time to come on with us this morning, man. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks, Sean.
Absolutely. It is interesting to kind of watch the evolution of this rivalry really over the course of the last 12 months. Like, you know, the playoff series, obviously, that helps, and that's where you basically start rivalries in the NHL. But then you add on the Winter Classic to it. It feels to me like, you know, the Blackhawks rivalry with the Predators, you know, that was kind of building and building and building for a while. Playoff series helped that. Detroit was one when they first came in the league that basically just kind of built over time. I feel like the Stars rivalry has come on very, very quickly. And it's one of those ones where you, like, sometimes there's rivalries between the fans. Like, you can watch the Predators and Blackhawks play, and I think there's a distaste there, but you don't ever really get the sense that the Predators and the Blackhawks just hate each other out there. I get a pretty good sense that the Stars and the Predators players, they don't like each other whatsoever. And to me, those are the most fun rivalries.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, Corey Perry being on their team automatically juices up the rivalry. I guess, honestly, though, I know they had the one playoff series. It's interesting, what Sean said about it. It's basically like the Stars have trouble finding a team, you know, that looks at them as a rival.
Yeah.
Like, I still think, and this is just me from the outside looking in, that, like, the Blackhawks and the Blues bring more juice. And I think with, like, the Red Wings and Blackhawks, those are two franchises that the Predators were chasing, right? That's a little different than now. This is like, so all of a sudden the Stars now have passed the Predators when for a few years the Predators, you know, were performing better. But, yeah, I mean, if you've got enough nastiness on the ice, that's a good way to make a rivalry better. And these two teams definitely have that.
We're going to talk about that a little bit more. Where do the Stars fit in terms of the pantheon and the pecking order of the Predators' rivals? We'll also look ahead at tonight's big game. Dan Muse, Predators' assistant coach, scheduled to join us at 7:30. We'll be right back to talk about the big matchup tonight between the Predators and the Stars here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.